The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Ephesians chapter 2 is a very special chapter, as is every bit of this book. But verse 13 of chapter 2 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Bert, I saw a video over the weekend of a young man who had been trapped in a cave. And they were rescuing and working to try to retrieve this young person. And they finally broke through the walls, the dirt and rocks that had fallen. And they dug and they were able to break down the wall and rescue this young person. And when I read verse 14, says that Jesus, with the blood of his cross, he has broken down the barrier that separated we sinners from a holy God. We rejoice in that. Through Jesus, the rescue has happened. Well, welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored that you're listening. So deeply grateful for another day and another week to get into the Scriptures, in this case, Ephesians chapter 2. It's good to be back, Bert.
It is, and we hope that you who are listening have had a good weekend, but now we're ready to dig in here on Exploring the Word, Ephesians chapter 2. Alex, I could not help but notice this, and you started out with verse 13 because that's where we got to, but I couldn't help but think of what it said in chapter 2, verse 4, "But God," and in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it talks about our conduct and the lust of our flesh being children of nature, but God intervened with his abundant mercy. Now, in verse 13, if you read what precedes that in verse 12, it says, "We were without Christ, aliens, strangers, having no hope without God, but now." God is a difference maker, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. And let me just say to everybody listening, if you've never trusted Christ, you can do that. But if you think too many things have happened, it's too late for me, no. But God, I love that you point that out. Jesus Christ always has your best interest at heart. Jesus Christ always has a means of forgiving, saving, blessing you if you will trust him and put your soul in his hands. And the cross and the empty tomb are proof of this. Bert, there's a lot we could say. Verse 13, it says that we were afar off. At one time, we were far, far from God because of our sin. But we've been made near by what? The blood of Jesus, the blood of the cross where our sin debt was paid. The wall of partition broken down. And Bert, according to verse 14, one of those walls of partition, at least symbolically, was the curtain in the temple that sequestered the Holy of Holies from, you know, mere mortals. And it was torn in two. When the Lord was crucified, that curtain that they say was a woven rope thing 3 inches thick, it tore from top to bottom. The wall of partition between we and God through Jesus has been taken out of the way.
Notice again in that verse 14, and it says, "For he himself is our peace," talking about Jesus Christ. Now listen to that. He himself. Words, you know, the way they're constructed with those two, he himself, really should get our attention. In other words, he himself, no one else could do this. Now, he himself is, how did he do that? You've already said, by the way of the cross, giving himself as the perfect sacrifice. He himself, no one else could do that, but he gave himself that we could have this peace. He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And again, who has made both one. Now, what's this both in one? I had to read carefully, but when you get to verse 13, it talks about the law, the commandments, and then a new person. In other words, in the Old Testament, the Jews were separate from all the other Gentiles of the world, all the Gentiles of the world, by the law that they received from God, their dietary restrictions, they're set aside the Sabbath day. But now, because of Jesus Christ tearing down that middle wall of partition, as you said, I think the greatest example is that curtain of separation. But it's also brought us, the Jew and Gentile, together to do what? To make both one, the church, the new one. So in this section of Scripture of Ephesians, it's talking about the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile, the wall has been that we are one. And then it goes ahead and talks about the God and man, the separation between them, because Jesus Christ, he made that separation disappear as well, as he could bring man to God, as God came to man in the person of Christ. Now, if that all makes sense, you'll see that carrying out here in this passage of Scripture, that we're made one. There's three important words that I want to give to you, and then you take it over, Alex. Enmity. It's going to talk about that enmity, which is hostility, enemy. And then reconciled, those enemies become friends. And then the other one is they become one. This passage of Scripture is so filled with the word is reconciliation, where the enemies become friends. Hallelujah. That God, amen. And only through Jesus Christ, isn't it?
You know, Bert, it's funny you would mention these in Ephesians 2:15. In the cross, you have the things resolved that humanly we had no recourse, no hope of getting settled. The enmity, that's being in an adversarial posture with somebody. Okay, the law of commandments and the ordinances. Okay, I've had people say to me, they'll say, well, you know, I'm just going to try to do my best, and, you know, if I stand before God one day, I tried my best effort, and I hope that'll count for something. It won't. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Okay, let me tell you, you might have an enemy or two, but you don't want to be crossways against God. But yet in sin, that's where we are. And then the commandments, well, we haven't kept them. I mean, maybe you've kept some of them, but the Bible says if you offend in even one point, you're guilty of all. And then the ordinances. So, Bert, all of these things, being righteous before God, and if you're not righteous, you're at enmity with God. Then commandments and ordinances, look, we are separated from God, and there is no resolution except but through Jesus, the righteous one, the risen one. And how do you receive that forgiveness? By faith. And Bert, I think the point is well made, though, but in verse 15, we have just a heartbreaking indictment and condemnation against us, but in Jesus, we're made one with God, the new man making peace.
Amen.
Romans talks about that. Folks, I don't know if you'll ever achieve the things the world says make for a successful life. The world talks about wealth and fame and all that. But I want to tell you, if you've got peace with God, you've got it all. And anyone can have this. Peace with God. What more priceless, valuable treasure could there be than that?
Alex, well said, because notice what it is. He starts out in verse 14. He himself is our peace, and then he ends in verse 15, making peace. Only he,
Jesus,
who is peace, brings peace, can make peace. He's the peacemaker. He really is. And in that peace, there's a settledness, okay? The settledness that our sins have been taken care of once we place our faith in Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins. And again, this is important. Notice, it says in the last part of verse 13, and this is why I say the Jew and the Gentile, because notice what it says. So after he got through with the commandments and ordinances, that who did he give that to? Gave it to the Jewish nation, and it separated from the Gentile world, has created in himself one new man from the two. In other words, we are reconciled together, and again, that reconciliation becomes friends as Jew and Gentile in Christ Jesus become the one. And that's who Christ is, and that's what he says, making peace. Only Jesus, Alex, no wonder it says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. But now means, okay, it's different than it was before, doesn't it?
Amen. And verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Remember, 13 reconciles with 17, that apart from Christ, you're afar off, and in Jesus you're made nigh or brought near to God. Listen, you might tell yourself, I'm okay. All this born-again stuff, I'm all right apart from that. But God says, and his word is the authority, that until we have Christ, we are far off from God, but in Christ made nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And again, what's the thing in life for which you are most grateful? Well, I would think that you have access to the Father, that you're indwelt by the Spirit, that you're washed in the blood, that you're bought by the Son, that you're a citizen in the kingdom and a member of the family, the household of God. You know, Bert, every believer, turns out we got a lot to be thankful for.
You bet, Alex. More than we could ever dream or think. That song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One.
Yes.
I just want to tell you, that song is a good song, but I think it's an impossibility to do so. Okay?
Amen, because there's so many.
There's so many. And listen, I got saved as a 12-year-old boy, and at that point in time, I knew I had a Savior, and I wasn't going to hell. And that was the basis of where I started as a believer. But now, because of years of walking with the Lord, digging in his word, seeing his grace demonstrated again and again, there's so many that I can't even begin to enunciate them all. But there are many. There are blessings that we could not even know of. And I got a feeling when part of heaven, Alex, is going to be with us viewing what could have happened had God not intervened in our life. And it's going to cause us to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We know he died on the cross for us, but I can think we're going to find out what all else he did for us in heaven. And those of you who are listening, you don't want to miss that. You want to experience God's grace, but then in heaven, you want to experience and understand all that the Savior has done for you. We'll be back right after this break.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow weak or discouraged before he has established justice on the earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. Isaiah 42, 3 and 4.
American Family Radio.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brent. If I were low and feeling kind of down and out, which I'm not, that song would have gotten me going. I'm telling you, come, Jesus, come. Set things right. We need you right now. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to contrast verse 12 and verse 19. Listen closely, and those of you that are heavy Bibles, man, you'll look at that and you'll underline some. Man, that's powerful. Verse 12 says, at that time, before Christ came, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Verse 19, for through him, Jesus, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Again, what you find in Ephesians chapter 2, it's one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, is what we were before Christ and what we are when Christ comes into our life. Alex, again, if we could convey that, if people could only see that and understand that in the reality and the totality of it, look like everybody would want to come to Jesus. He makes a difference, doesn't he?
He really does. He really does. You know, we've been reading, 17, 18, 19, getting up to all the blessings that we have. Our sins are washed away. We've been brought near to Jesus. And it talks about being citizens with the saints and of the household of faith. Now, verse 20, and are built, you the believer, our hope, our life, our reassurance, our salvation, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord. That thing about being fitly framed together, we're going to come back to that. But I want to talk about the foundation, because it's a fascinating Greek word, Bert. Can mean substructure. Anybody that's ever built a house or building, you know there's got to be the footings. You dig and pour the footings, and the inspector will approve those, and so you can build your foundation. So the foundation is not just the block and brick, but the footings underneath, and a firm foundation. Much has been said about that. And the apostles and the prophets. So listen, when we proclaim Jesus, we're proclaiming what Peter and Paul preached in the book of Acts, but they were proclaiming what the prophets promised and looked toward. And you and I just did the book of the prophet Isaiah, and there's so much of Jesus in that book. And it's all about Jesus, the chief cornerstone. But Bert, that word there, the foundation, interestingly, it's in the Greek, it's the word theme. T-H-E-M-E. Now, what is the theme of a book? Well, you know, famous books like To Kill a Mockingbird, the theme is really salvation. The theme, what it's all about. Bert, I'm telling you, the theme of our message, the theme of the church, the theme of our life, the theme of the American Family Association, really the story of history itself, the theme or the foundation, it's the Lord Jesus. You know, I love that song about tell me the old story, and it says, I love the old story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. we're on that foundation. In fact, he is our foundation, isn't he, Bert?
He really is. When I read that, he being the chief cornerstone, again, you're talking about Isaiah and how it was all about, how many times, about Jesus. The same thing is true in many of the Psalms. Listen to Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. If you look at that and read that, you'll find Psalm 118, it has divisions between different verses because it kind of to be sung. But those three verses go together, 22, 23, and 24. And it starts out with a stone the builders rejected. Now, when they were building the temple, you know, Solomon's temple, each stone was built to go in a specific place. And they were chiseled out and made in the quarry. They brought them from the quarry where they were shaped and then brought to the temple site to fit into their position. But there seemed to be one that they're inferring here, the cornerstone being rejected. They set it aside. When talking about Jesus, the chief cornerstone, when he came to his own what? Received him not, or you could say rejected him. They didn't know what to do with him. His was different. He was different in everything. So here when you're in Ephesians and it says him, Jesus Christ, there it is, himself. You remember what we said earlier when he said he himself is our peace and Jesus Christ himself. Each time you see that, you know it is something that no one else could do. No one else could be that person. No one else could be our great high priest. No one else could be the perfect sacrifice. He is the only one. And here on this building, I believe it's referring to the church, the whole, because it gets into verse 21, a holy temple unto the Lord, as Paul would talk about, we, the people, being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. Alex, no one like him, and never has been, but yes, he built it, and he himself, no one else, is the Savior, the Lord, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. No one else but Jesus is there.
Exactly, exactly. And the church, resting on and bought by and equipped by and structured by the chief cornerstone, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple unto the Lord. Let me read 1 Timothy 3:15 if I could. Paul says, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. You know, the building fitly framed together. In a way, Bert, I think a case could be made that that speaks of the spiritual gifts God gives. Now, in a way, all Christians are the same, but in a way, all Christians are really different. Now, we're the same in that we are born again through faith in Jesus. Everybody comes to the cross. The ground is level. Billy Graham had simple faith in Jesus. You and I have simple faith in Jesus. But then we are fitly framed together in that he gives different gifts and callings, competencies, abilities, interests to different ones. You know, there are some people and they love the inner city. I've got several friends that have purposely started great, great churches in the inner city, and they reach a lot of people. I've done ministry in the inner city, but I don't know, maybe it's a little claustrophobic, and I just like to be out there on the go. I don't mind traveling. That's just how I'm made up. And different ones are strong in different areas. Bert, a building has cement, 2x4s, wiring, plumbing. A building fitly framed together has a whole lot of different components. And I'm glad that in God's big family, There's a place for everybody, isn't there? Fitly framed together, a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I'm so glad that the Spirit led me to the job site, and King Jesus saved me and put me in his fitly made building.
Amen, Alex. Great, great words. In other words, every believer is unique. Okay, we may have the same spiritual gift, but because of our personality, because of our abilities, because of our experience, because of our passion, it's uniquely ours. You're talking about inner city and those that would be in the rural areas, and it's uniquely God has called you to fill that position. About 6 weeks ago, could be a little less, here in the South, we had that very, very cold, and the ice storm came through, and power was out, and, you know, things were shut down. Well, during that period of time, my wife, Jan, and I, this is when we do a jigsaw puzzle. No other time. It doesn't fit. But during that time, we were able to do, and we got most of it done, the jigsaw puzzle. Now, I just want to tell you, each piece fits in to a certain place. The shape, the color has to match. It is matched, and each one of them is cut to fit in that place and in that position. And you try to force another piece in there, it will either bend or break, or it just doesn't complete the picture. But this framed, this being fitly joined or framed together, you fit in there. And Alex, it's a unique piece of puzzle. You're a unique person, and you don't expect someone else to take your place. No, you're to take that place taking care of senior adults. You take that place being in the nursery. You take that place being security. You take that place in the choir, the ensemble. You take your place and fill it. And because God has done what? And you said it. He has gifted you. He has made you and fitted you to fit into that frame to complete the building or to complete the picture.
Amen. Amen. And for everybody. And the beautiful thing about it, and we could talk about this, but our circumstances, our personalities, our journey, he knows us. And I really think our spiritual gifting is very much wisely selected by God and imparted to us based on what is best and what would be most conducive for us, this habitation of God. Well, chapter 3, Paul says this, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, have you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God to which is given to me, to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." Okay, so he's going to be talking about his mission to the Gentiles. And the word in verse 2, their dispensation, in this context, it's really the stewardship of his assignment. He wants to handle this assignment, and he's talking about how he was made known to understand the knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Bert, the Bible talks about salvation being things that the angels have desired to look into. Isn't it amazing that when you think about it, there is a whole, you know, immeasurable amount of revelation that we've been given. I mean, you think about in times past how godly, diligent people, they knew a little bit of the story. We know, like, the whole story. The tomb is empty. We've got the Bible. Israel is back in their land. I mean, I feel like one of the things for which we should be grateful is the huge, huge amount of disclosure, revelation, knowledge, truth that we are privy to.
Amen. Now, mystery, it was once hidden, but now has been revealed. That's the whole idea. It was made known to Paul. And what he's been talking about is what he's just referred to in chapter 2, how that man and God was reconciled, even the Gentile, how the Jew and the Gentiles was reconciled to the church, both Jew and Gentile in the church. Go back to the book of Acts and find out what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch and what happened to Cornelius, both, one from Ham, the other one from Japheth, and God reconciled them to become part of what? The body of Christ, the church. And here in this mystery that was once hidden, church, is now being understood and revealed. That's the revelation. Alex, and what you just said, what right now may be a mystery to us, and we talk about this all the time on this program about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. There's some mystery there. How's that reconciled? Guess what's going to happen one day? The revelation, how God know, it will be. It will be clear. I believe that with all my heart. Just as we continue growing in the Lord, He makes those things clear. So you want to walk with Him and stay with Him. And when we get to heaven, hallelujah, what it will be there as we have the reconciliation completed in the glorification of what God is going to do. That phone number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here, so honored that you're listening. Hey, we're going to get to Bible questions and phone calls here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to make an appeal if you would share listener stories. Just over the weekend, I got several emails from people who say they listen to the program and it's blessed their life. And one person emailed me, Bert, and said that the light has come on. Meaning understanding about Jesus and the gospel. And we appreciate that. But it would mean so much if you would call in, and don't be shy, but just take 30, 60 seconds and say what AFA and AFR means to you, if this show means something to you. Your listener testimony would just be so inspirational. And Bert, we've got a dedicated line for that. What is that number for people to call and record a testimony of what Exploring the Word or the other programming means to you?
That number is 877-876-8893. Let me repeat it. 877-876-8893. Again, like that 60 seconds, no more than 2 minutes for sure. It would just don't have time to play a long one on Share-a-thon. And Share-a-thon is coming up April the 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's a great time of the year here at AFR. And again, I love the time of the year because we get to hear from those whose lives have been blessed by listening to AFR. God is blessed. And that's what we want to make Christ tell, how Christ has helped you in your life. Some of you, as Alex said, the light's gone on. Come on, and the others, you've helped you in your walk at difficult times. So let us hear from you. Again, 877-876-8893.
Amen, amen. Now, I'm going to inundate you with another telephone number, and this is for Bible questions. In this part of the show, we love to hear from you, but it's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, we invite you to call in right now.
Okay, well, let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Missouri, and it's Ben. Ben, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, brother.
Good afternoon, Alex and Bert. I'm just glad to talk with you. I try to listen to you guys as often as I can, and I appreciate all that you do. And this is especially for Alex. I got the tape set you sent to me, Alex, the CD set. I just got it today. I haven't opened it yet. I listened to it. I look forward to that. But I'm so very thankful you took the time to send it, and I look forward to listening to it. And well, you're both a blessing, and I just thank you so much for it. I have got one question, though.
Okay.
The other day I was reading in Deuteronomy, and they were talking about, I think it was Deuteronomy, about soldiers in the battles that Israel had. Now, when those soldiers on Israel's side, it's kind of hard to explain, but did God protect those soldiers so they didn't die?
Alex, are you familiar with that?
I'm not exactly sure. Do you know exactly where in Deuteronomy this is the passage of which you speak, sir?
Well, honestly, no. I haven't got my Bible in front of me. I mean, I listen to my Bible on tape, so I can't give you a definite place. But I'm just wondering, in general, if Israeli soldiers were killed in battle, did they go? Where did they go? What happened to them? Were they resurrected immediately, or did they?
Okay, Alex, it's funny Ben would say that in general. I thought maybe we can answer that in general. Alex, there were, I would say, the soldiers, they died.
Yeah.
But God did have some special messengers there through the power of the Holy Spirit that I think would be kind of like they were warriors, you know what I mean?
Warring
angels, I guess you could say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do think that at times God gave supernatural protection to the armies of Israel. You read about this. Now, though, in possessing the land and going forward in obedience, there were skirmishes and battles with the Canaanites, Philistines, and others, and people would die. You know, soldiers would die just as in any conflict like that. But no, I think because Jesus was coming through the nation of Israel and God was leading Abraham to bring his people, through Moses and then Joshua into the promised land, you know, I do think there were examples of supernatural protection, Bert.
I do as well. And one of the stories that amazes me is David, when he was longing for the water in that stream, and those two men heard him, and they went in and got him that water. And he said, I can't drink that, and he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying they were divinely protected, but, Alex, I love how the Old Testament brings these personal stories alive and see how God operates and even meets not just sometimes our need, but even meets our wants. And that's our God, isn't it?
Amen. He is faithful.
He is.
In fact, he's more than just and faithful. He shows us grace.
He does. Praise God. Let's go to Tennessee. And Philip, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead, brother.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been having turmoil about this thing all my life. I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus is the Lord and that he died on the cross for our sins. He was raised on the third day and is in heaven now at the right side of the throne. I'm having a hard time turning my belief into trust. I ask the Lord to save me multiple times a day, and I just don't feel like I'm saved.
Okay, Philip, let me pray, and I'm going to ask Alex. Alex does this. He's got the gift of evangelism. And I do have to do the work of an evangelist, but he's gifted. Father, I pray for Philip right now that even in this conversation, that your Holy Spirit might just help him, draw him to yourself either way, saved or lost, draw him to yourself that he may affirm and know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, go ahead and talk to Philip, brother.
God bless you, Philip. And by the way, you might end up using this someday, like Philip the evangelist from the book of Acts. But I think you hit it on the head, and I've talked to a lot of people. And in fact, Philip, I was in this very same position as a young person. I would pray and pray and pray, and I was afraid I was going to maybe die in my sleep, and I would wake up in hell, and I didn't feel saved. You said you didn't feel saved. And with all due respect, I was reading Charles Spurgeon, and you know he says, and I think he's right, feelings don't really have anything to do with it. It's the promise of God's Word. And like you said, you believe God, and you believe God's Word, right, Philip?
Yes, I do.
God doesn't lie, does he?
No.
So let me ask you this. 1 John 5:13, this is one scripture. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." K-N-O-W. No. So have you believed, you believe in Jesus, he's the Son of God, and when he died for the human race, that included you. You believe that, don't you, Philip?
I do.
And so, having believed on the name of the Son of God, according to 1 John 5:13, and we've established that God is not a liar. God is the foundation of all truth. It says that you can know you have eternal life. And so, I guess I would just encourage you, brother, trust God at his word. God is not deceiving you. Your emotions will catch up, but right now, in your mind, tell yourself, give yourself permission to say, okay, God doesn't lie. And it says, if I believe on the name of Jesus. Another verse that Bert and I have shared with a lot of people is John 6:37, where Jesus says, "The one who comes to me, I will in no way reject." And you've come to Jesus, haven't you?
Yes.
So it doesn't say, except for Philip. No, it says, "The one who comes to me." So give yourself permission to rest in Jesus. His word applies to whosoever will. And Philip, my dear brother, you're my brother in Christ. That whosoever will, that includes you, sir.
Amen, Philip. We want you to stay online. We want to get your address, if you don't mind. We want to send you something, Philip. But let me share my experience with this, Alex. It won't take me but a moment. I was saved when I was 12 years old. It was real. But then, you know, doubt, like you said, the feelings. And one Sunday night, I remember coming home. I was wondering if I was really saved. And I was praying the way Philip had said, "Lord, help me, save me." I found no peace. And then just out of the, I wasn't thinking, it's just me in my bed by myself. And I said, "Lord, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting in Jesus." And all of a sudden, that reality, those who have put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "I'm in no way cast out." And Philip, it settled it. That night, God just saturated my life with assurance and hope. And we're praying that for you right now. So, Philip, Brent's going to put you on hold, and Richard's going to get your address. We want to send you something, brother. Thank you for calling, okay? Mm. You got him on hold, Brent, so I can do it. Okay, thank you again. Let's go to Arkansas, and it's John. John, thank you for calling, brother.
Hey, how's y'all doing today? I'm glad y'all have decided to take my call.
Yes, sir, man. Glad we could.
Always a joy to listen to you guys, and I try to catch as much of y'all as I can, because a lot of times when I hear bits and pieces and segments of y'all's program, y'all affirm through the Holy Spirit some of the things that I teach to my congregation. And one of the things that I caught just a moment ago when I got in my truck, y'all were talking about how we're uniquely made to fit where God has called us, and we need to be where God has called us to be. We need to fit where God has called us to fit and not try to fit somewhere else. And one of the things that I had just shared with my congregation not too long ago, and I told them, I said, you know, nobody wakes up and says, you know what, I want to be a big toe. But somebody has got to be a big toe. And when we understand the anatomy of the body and how the big toe brings balance and stability to the entire body, if we don't have big toe, you're going to fall flat on your face.
Amen, said, John.
So sometimes we need to be happy to be a big toe. And I wanted to just share that because that was kind of a confirmation for me that I'm rightly interpreting the Word of God whenever I hear, you know, you guys kind of say the same thing. And just a quick encouragement to Philip as well. I've got a Philip in my life that I've been witnessing to and ministering with and that I work with. And oftentimes this doubt can come about, this doubt of our salvation can come about through the enemy, that he will try to sneak in and try to steal our joy. He is the thief. He's the great thief. He's the father of lies. And he'll try to steal our joy away from us. And by doing that, he'll try to remind us of who we used to be. He'll tell us that God, we can't be really saved because God wouldn't save somebody as bad as we are. And I had a preacher one time that told me, he said, anytime the enemy tries to put doubt in your mind and tries to remind you of who you used to be and he tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future.
Amen. John. Preach That's it, right. brother. Amen. Listen, I'd rather be a big toe and fulfill my purpose than to be something else and not. Alex, great illustration, John. Thank
that
you, man.
Is a great
Keep preaching, too.
Praise God.
Love that. Let's go to Texas and talk to Mary. Mary, thank you for calling today.
Hello. God bless you all.
Well, God bless you, Mary.
Thank you. Well, I don't, like I told the gentleman that answered the phone, I don't know where to find it. It took me by surprise. I'm going from one. I'm in the car. And I'm going to visit somebody and then put you on. And it was the time to ask questions. So I said, I'm not prepared, but I'm sure they know where to find it. It's about Jesus. You know, I go to a Pentecostal church and we praise God all the time. We praise him and we praise Jesus. I can't live without praising Jesus. I always have to praise him, and I thank the Holy Spirit. Now, I learned not to praise the Holy Spirit, but to thank him. I wish I could praise the Holy Spirit because he deserves praises too, but I want to do things correct. But my question, if you can answer that one too, I appreciate that. But my question is, Jesus was with the disciples or with a group of people, and he told them, they were praising him, and he said, do not praise me. Praise my Father that's in heaven. And I want to know why he didn't want to be praised, and are we doing wrong in praising him?
No, we're not, Mary. Let me just tell you, there's a time for it. When you read the Gospels, one of the most important things is time, isn't it, Alex, of what Jesus said. Don't tell anybody about me right now. Wait. He had a purpose in waiting when he said that, didn't he not?
Oh, that's true. That's true. You know, Luke 10:21 says that Jesus was full of joy of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the life of Christ, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, don't we?
We do. And listen, when you praise the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, amen. When you praise and thank God for the Holy Spirit, the Father and Jesus, you catch what I'm saying? They're three in one. Alex, tomorrow we'll continue in Ephesians. But let me say, Tina, we're sorry we didn't get to your call, but we would love for you to call back tomorrow. We'll be back with more of Ephesians. We'll start in chapter 3, verse 6. Read ahead. It's still great. Thank you for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.